You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Half Right Podcast. It is Tuesday, July. What's today's date, big sister?
Today is the 16th.
So, yeah.
It's been about a month. A lot has happened in a month.
We're going to start coming to you guys more consistently. We're just, I don't know. It's just this current product. We're real wrestling fans, but it's like, sometimes they really like this is fun for us, and when wrestling isn't fun to talk about, we're just not going to talk about it. But we feel like we needed to give you guys some more content, and you know.
But I mean, things are going to pick up. SummerSlam is on the way, and then you know, wrestling is gonna. We're gonna have a lot to talk about September with AEW coming.
Fox. Smackdown.
Hopefully WWE will get their ish together with this Fox thing going on. So it's going to be a lot more coming. Yes. So I think that we should start out with Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
We could quickly go over the results of the matches. You could tell your favorite, you know, the regular shebangy bang. Because that was the most recent pay-per-view. So kind of got.
Yeah, we haven't missed the pay. We haven't missed the pay-per-view since Mania, though. We pretty much reviewed them all.
Yeah, so let's start with the kickoff, a match that should not have been on the kickoff, that should have been on the main card, which was the Intercontinental Championship match with the champ, Finn Balor, losing to Shinsuke Nakamura. I personally am glad that Shinsuke is back in the fold, but what does this mean for Fergal is the question. So that's what happened with that one. You have any thoughts on that one?
I just want to start off by saying this. There's no scenario in the world where Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor should be on anybody's pre-show.
Exactly.
Like, if you told somebody 2-3 years ago during their NXT runs that, hey, they're going to have a match on a pre-show, I wouldn't have believed you. Because you're like, no way in hell that those guys wrestle on a pre-show. It was a decent match, but... Anytime you have a pre-show match, it's just not. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The pre-show, we can try to talk about the pre-show all we want, but people don't look at it as the main show. So, them with their level of talent, bro, it should have never been on a pre-show. But it has been reported that by I believe Pro Wrestling Sheet that Finn Balor. Has requested time off from WWE and it's been granted. I think it's going to be about.
Oh, really?
I think it's going to be about 2 months starting next month. So I believe it probably will be around after.
So I wonder if he's going to be spending time with his girl. That's that reported.
Are they still together?
Maybe he'll be spending time with his girl. Maybe he'll just be off in Ireland.
She'll be working though. She didn't request no time off.
Yeah, but he would be able to go to her, you know.
I don't think he requested time off to spend time with his girl, but
well, wishful thinking.
Yeah, but you know.
But I agree that this should not have been a pre-show. As for what else was on the pre-show, which I didn't even know because I didn't watch. Wait, was the Cruiserweight match on the pre-show or that was a part? No, that was
pre-show,
right? Yeah, Cruiserweight Championship: Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese. Gulak beat Nice. I didn't see the match. That's a match that should always be on the pre-show, though. The Cruiserweight. Because they're not doing anything with it in the first place. So,
yeah.
We could bypass that one for all I care.
Nothing at all.
All
right, I just want to say this. The Cruiserweights are extreme. Tony Nice and Drew Gulak are extremely talented. We just need better storytelling. And when you watch a Cruiserweight match, when you have guys like AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Ricochet, guys who aren't on 205 Live, doing the stuff that we see on 205 Live, it kind of depletes. Like, yeah. I remember, like, I wasn't in tune with wrestling, but I remember, like, people say, like, during the WCW days when the cruiserweight division was really big, it was big because the top guys weren't doing moves like that. Now, everybody's doing somebody. A guy like Kevin Owens is doing stuff that you'll see on 205 Live. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I think it's time for 205 Live. I hate to say it because, you know, it's a show that has so much potential, but I think it's time for 205 Live to go. You can send a bunch of those guys to NXT and call it a day, because 205 Live does nothing for me. And they're all extremely talented wrestlers. Gulak is amazing. Tony Nese, I've always been a fan of his. But, yeah, good match. Gulak retained, but there's not much else to say.
But I feel like that's kind of the thing with WWE Network in general. When you look at the other shows that they have, the only one that I really tune into on the network is NXT.
Yeah.
Because every single week is entertaining. And that's not to say that the people in the Cruiserweight division on 205 or the people that we never see on Raw or SmackDown on WWE Main Event aren't doing something. It's just that we're, like, literally oversaturated on Monday and Tuesdays with 5 hours of wrestling, including commercials. Ugh, we're oversaturated. So then, you know, by the time Main Event rolls around in 205, it's like, do I really want to tune into the WWE Network? Do I really want to watch that? NXT is always going to get a whole bunch of love because of the product and what Triple H has built. But how you said with 205 Live, and I'm going to say that Main Event could be exempt too, because, well, it could be eliminated, I should say, because
I forgot they even still have that show.
Exactly. That's the point. But moving back into Extreme Rules, I was surprised that it started out with Roman Reigns and Undertaker versus Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. And I'm so happy that Roman Reigns and Undertaker won. Well, Undertaker had to win because this was like the redemption match. But most importantly, this damn Roman Shane Drew feud is over. They have moved on to someone else, which we'll get to. But I'm glad that it's over. And I like how at the end, Undertaker gave his respect to Roman. We all know Roman's humble, but he gave his respect to Roman and said, this is your yard now. But I thought the match was very interesting.
Yes, what'd you think? Amazing. This is how you use the Undertaker. And I think it's about time. Goldberg Undertaker was not Undertaker's fault. It clearly Undertaker is in some of the best shape that he's been in years.
He looks amazing in the ring.
Yes, amazing. So it's
my favorite. Did you have a favorite spot in the match? My favorite was that spear that Roman did
on Drew.
Yeah, that was nice. I like that.
Yeah, I love when Shane does the coast to coast. I saw something online that, you know, I think makes is a very valid point. Shane McMahon is a better wrestler than Bill Goldberg.
I mean, as much as I don't want to agree with it, I'm going to have to say yes. He's more agile in the ring than Bill Goldberg. Yeah.
Not saying Shane's good. I'm just saying that's how bad Goldberg in this day and age just doesn't work.
No. Now, are you talking about Shane now or Shane in general?
Shane in general. Even Shane now is the better wrestler.
Well, Shane now is without a doubt. The fact that he's still doing coast to coast and he's pushing.
Shane's a good athlete. We could talk all the shit we want about Shane. He needs to go away. But
no, he's not a good person business-wise. But Shane can get busy in the ring. That's not a question. Business-wise, he needs to go home.
Agreed.
Go to New York. Go back to your house, your brownstone, your penthouse, whatever the hell you have. We're good. We're over the shock of you coming back. It's been years now. You can go home now. We don't need you. But I feel like what they're doing with Shane, though, is that Shane is the only one that has time to do TV. Stephanie, being the chief brand officer, she's always off doing something else. Triple H is, if you guys did not see Triple H's special on WWE Network, go watch it. It shows just how freaking crazy he is. And Vince is just batshit crazy. So we know he don't have it all in the head. So really, Shane is the only one that has time for TV. Because what else is Shane doing? Someone tell me.
Shane is also, out of those that we just named, Shane's the only one out of Triple H and Stephanie. He's the only, he doesn't have a creative position, just like you said. So he's under, he's under one contract. He doesn't have a role within, like, really within the company. So, right. Like,
which goes back to my point of what else is there for him to do?
Do what he, the way that Shane was being used before was good. I feel like when he was just the commissioner, he would show up here and there. He would be off of TV from time to time. I feel like that was amazing.
Yeah, but then you also have to think of the other fold of that, of who the commissioner was on the other side. And at that time, how it was that sibling rivalry. When you take Stephanie out of the equation, what is the purpose of Shane? Not beefing. So let's join everything back together and you could just be the asshole that you are. That's what you can do, Shane. Be baby Vince. Because what else is he gonna do? But anyway, we'll get back to Shane. The Raw Tag Team Championship match was the Usos versus the Revival, the champs. The Revival retained. I'm not surprised. I love the Usos in the ring, though. We talked about it in our last episode that the Usos are doing some of their best work right now. But the tag team division in general, I would say that the Usos and the Revival are at the top of the division. The New Day did end up winning. Oh, we'll get to that. They did end up winning. But when it comes to the tag team division overall, who's your top pick?
The best tag team in WWE?
Yep. I mean, total package that's doing it right now.
The New Day.
The New Day?
Yeah.
You can't, I'm not counting Kofi.
Oh, all right, then I'm going to go with the Usos, but if.
Okay. Not counting Kofi. We'll get to the New Day, though. Then we had the return of Aleister Black, people, versus Cesaro. I love how they're doing. I love this, what they're doing with Cesaro. I like this. He had his thing with Ricochet. Now he's doing this thing with Aleister Black. Granted, Aleister Black did win, but Aleister had to win. If you think about it, he was out for all that time, and they were building up, like, pick a fight with me. So I think he had to win. But I thought the match was really, really good. I like Cesaro in the ring. And Aleister, of course.
Cesaro is clearly one of the most underrated superstars.
Of course, there.
And like, of this generation, like, Cesaro was amazing. I'm still not over years ago how I think everybody wanted him to get that push after he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It didn't happen, but Cesaro is dependable. And you know he's gonna give you a great match.
That's a good
one. And I think this was good. This is good for this was a good win for Aleister Black. Predictable, but you know it was a good match. And we saw them on SmackDown tonight have another match, not on the level of their Extreme Rules encounter, in my opinion. Right. But
that's a good word to describe Cesaro as, dependable. There's a lot of guys that people are like, why do they keep, like, the, I'm going to say older guys, because, you know, there's a lot of newer people coming in. But when you look at someone like Cesaro, at this point, you could put him in the same realm as a Randy Orton because of how long they've been in the business. And they know
he doesn't have that star power of Randy.
No, he does not have the star power of Randy. But I just mean it's someone that they can call and expect them to get a good match and get someone over. Cesaro is in that same breath, but no, he does not have the star power of Randy. Now we have the handicap match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley the champ versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. I thought this was stupid from the start, absolutely dumb. I don't like the idea of a co-champ because that's what the tag for. And you and I talked about this prior to the podcast of what they're doing with the titles. And I'm going to say it here on the Half Right podcast. And I don't think Lakia, hear me, doesn't think that Vince gives a shit about women's wrestling. And if you don't think that if you don't agree with me, just look at what he's been doing, because we know Vince has the final say, but look at what he's been doing and look at what happened tonight on SmackDown. That just goes to show that he doesn't give a shit. He don't give a shit. He don't care.
I think this is called the Half Right Podcast. So I'm about to debate with you for a minute. I think that's a crazy statement that you just made, that he doesn't care about the women's division. Okay. Women just main evented WrestleMania. Women had pay-per-view.
Okay.
So he cares about them a little bit. Like, don't say that he doesn't give a shit. His creation, his greatest creation, he had the women main event mania.
Okay, now can I give a rebuttal to that? He had women main event WrestleMania, but who is the woman that was headlining that? Who's the woman that had the one that had the Evolution pay-per-view come to be in general? Ronda fucking Rousey. He gave a shit about what Ronda Rousey could do for WWE and the sports entertainment and making people tune into WWE that may have tuned out, or people that are coming over from watching UFC. But putting UFC aside, people know who Ronda Rousey is. So you can say that, oh, the women were the main event of WrestleMania. We were there. It was great. It was a long-ass day, but it was great. That's fine. But Vince cares more about star power and revenue than he cares about women's wrestling. Okay? That's my personal opinion. He doesn't give a shit. He cared about Ronda. Because if he cared about women's wrestling, why can't there be an Evolution too? Why can't there be an Evolution too?
Because, you know, women's wrestling.
Why is the tag team division being a joke right now?
Because
those two things right there. Putting Evolution aside, I know, it's just a special one-time thing. But why is the tag team division, the women's tag team division, being made a joke out of right now? You have not only a Raw Women's Championship, you have a SmackDown Women's Championship, and there's plenty of playing field now for the women to have tag teams going on, so there's more opportunity, and it's all a joke. It's all a joke.
I mean, what star power do you have for women's wrestling between Sasha's gone?
What star power do you have? If you would give other women the chance, you just might see what other star power
who
you have.
Who? Please.
Charlotte is still there. But if you look at the talent,
give somebody else a chance, and you just said give Charlotte.
Someone that I would like to see get a chance. I'd like to see Sonya Deville get a chance. I'm glad that Ember Moon is getting a chance. I'm glad. When have we seen that? Yeah, we're getting Becky and freaking Natalya, of course, because it's in Canada, at SummerSlam for the Raw Women's Championship. But Bayley and Ember Moon, that's going to be a great match. Unless someone else gets thrown into it. But it's going to be a great match. I hope someone goes heel. For me, I would love for it to be Bayley. But I doubt it.
I don't think Bayley's a heel. I'd rather see Ember turn.
I'm saying I would like to see Bayley, but it's probably not going to happen. Ember can go heel. That's fine. I'm cool with it. I'm glad that it's a different opponent. I wasn't expecting at the end of that match on SmackDown tonight, in the tag team match with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville and Bayley and Ember, for Bayley to be like, yo, Ember, let's go one-on-one at SummerSlam. I wasn't expecting that. I was very disappointed with the underwhelming pick that Ember chose as her tag team partner in Bayley. Ooh, shocker. But the turn of events at the
Lakia, who would have you chose to be her partner?
Someone other than
Bayley. Like who? Like
someone
who?
Random.
People
random.
Always. But then you again, know what? This is what gets me mad.
But then again, I don't even know who's on SmackDown anymore. I told you, I don't know. I don't know who's on SmackDown, because I thought Carmella was on SmackDown, but she ended up on Raw last night. So what girls do we have? There's a lot of girls, but they're just not we don't see him. So, because Ruby Riott's out, where the hell is? Well, we saw what happened with Liv Morgan. Poor thing. No, Liv. Is it Liv Morgan?
Yes. Sarah Logan. Liv Morgan is the one who got beat.
Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. Yeah, Sarah Logan. Where's she at?
On Raw, doing absolutely nothing.
What about Dana Brooke? Where's she at? Poor Dana. Poor Dana.
I'm going to be real. No disrespect. When you said Sonya, that interests me. When you said Ember Moon, I'm a fan of her. She's got potential. I like Mandy Rose personally. But when you say women like, like Dana Brooke and Sarah Logan, they don't do nothing for me, bro. Like,
I'm not saying that they need to be in the main title picture, but people like them could be in the tag team title picture. You could be a B player. You could still get some shine. We could get some storylines. Because look at Lacey Evans. We saw what happened with Lacey Evans. We'll get to the main event. But we saw what happened with Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans is a little, she has a little ring rust. She needs some work in the ring. But how smart would it be, with Charlotte not being in the title picture right now, for once, it would be smart to pair her and Lacey together. Shit, you could put them against the Kabuki Warriors.
Yeah, I'm agree with that.
Not only with the story, if they did the storyline right, they could do something there. If they did it right, have Paige talk for the Kabuki Warriors. But the in-ring would be great, and Lacey would be able to learn something from Charlotte along the way. Like, why can't they do stuff like that? Should Charlotte be in a tag team? Probably not. I'd rather even see Charlotte and Lacey versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
If you're gonna I feel like Charlotte would elevate those titles.
Just like Bayley and Sasha did. It's the same thing. Just like if Becky wasn't the Raw Women's Champion and she was in the tag team, she would elevate the title too.
Yeah, but I feel like that's why putting the belts on the Iconics at WrestleMania was such a bad idea.
Which showed that he just didn't care. It's like we finally gave y'all, y'all little evolution. We gave y'all little tag titles, but don't expect to see them defended. To really happen with it, because if you look at Sasha and Bayley and what they were trying to do, they were really trying to build a tag team division.
Yeah, and you know they.
And then you have your. Then it's like the door is slammed in your face. Like, that's cute. We finally gave it to you. Oh, whoop de whoop. But no, we're gonna give it to the Iconics. And this is no disrespect to Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. It's no disrespect to them because I don't mind them in the ring, and I think they're hilarious as hell behind the scenes. But it's made into a joke. And unfortunately, there's girls that could be getting prime time in the tag team division, and they're getting shitted on. No, I don't think Dana Brooke is Raw Women's or SmackDown Women's Champion caliber. I don't. Liv Morgan, absolutely not.
Liv maybe. Liv got potential. They put the belt on Carmella. They'll do some strange things.
But let me say this. She would be better. She would be better working as a tag team. Okay? She was a part of the Riott Squad. She will be better getting some more in-ring work as a tag team and then splitting off and doing something else just to get her bearings with a championship. That's the thing. You have these women that are in the division, and then the only taste that they get of a championship are the big ones. Give them some, let them have a little fun with the tag team ones. That's when they get the big one that it, I don't know. Liv Morgan, you said Carmella, I guess. Then you could just say Mandy Rose would get the championship too. Mandy would get the championship before Liv.
Of course, Mandy's amazing. Man.
Are you saying she's amazing because she's beautiful? Are you saying she's amazing because she's good in the ring?
Mandy's decent in the ring, and she looks good.
Okay.
What?
All right.
You're a hater.
I'm saying out of the two, when it comes to Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, I'm just gonna go with Sonya.
Yeah, but who's who? I feel like the better cat. I mean, yeah, you're right. But Mandy, I feel like they're both like women's champion material. They could both be like that's a team that should have got that I would have gave the belts to over the Iconics.
Yeah,
I like the Iconics. I think they're like a true women's tag team. But I feel like Sonya and Mandy would have done so much better with the belts. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
And plus, they're heel.
Yes.
So Mandy Rose as a heel, if she were to become women's champion, which may one day happen, whatever. But if she were to become women's champion, the thing with Sonya and Mandy that I don't even think WWE knows what they want to do. Because at first they kind of had them like tit for tat. Like, are y'all going to go at each other? Then Mandy got that opportunity. Sonya gave it to her. But I think that they will be good in the tag team division. But we'll never know because the Kabuki Warriors are doing stuff instead. Moving along. The last man standing match, Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley, which was so fucking stupid. Braun Strowman won. I'm moving on. Not even going to talk about that match. Then there was a triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Hold up. Did you just really disrespect Strowman and Lashley like they didn't put on a big like a banger?
No. I'm just over their feud. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That match was amazing. Amazing.
It was good. I'm just over their feud.
I mean, the feud, I think I'm pretty sure that was
shout out to Braun for winning again. Even though what they did to Braun is horrible, they destroyed him, but okay.
I'm pretty sure that was the end of that feud.
I would hope so. I thought them going through the projector that time would have been the end of it. But
obviously, that was fine. A setup for something bigger. Everybody knew that wasn't the end of that feud.
Obviously, but hopefully this is the end, the last man standing. Now, can I move on to the triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship?
Yes, you can.
As the New Day now holds all the gold, as they say, because the New Day became 6-time tag team champions, defeating both the new Daniel Bryan and Rowan, along with Heavy Machinery. I thought the match was great. I was very impressed. But I was more impressed that New Day won. I wasn't expecting that. But now I want to see what is going to happen with Daniel Bryan. Because he ain't say nothing tonight.
I had a feeling that Daniel Bryan wasn't going to, like, say anything tonight.
Of course. Because WWE announces things and then... I know why they do it. I'm just saying. It's so life-altering for him to come out and say absolutely nothing. But what did you think of the match overall?
Anytime you put... I love Heavy Machinery. I've become a big fan of Heavy Machinery.
I like how fast they move in the ring.
And anytime you got Daniel Bryan in the ring, the match quality is going to be good. Big E is one of the best workers, I feel like, in the WWE. And he doesn't get the respect that he deserves. Because I feel like Big E, he's one of those big guys. He can really wrestle, like, any style of match. You could put him with a big guy, he's going to have a good match. You put him with a small guy, great match. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, Big E, Xavier Woods is, like, so underrated, like, for what he does in the ring. You know, obviously, he's the weak member of the New Day, like, the weakest member. But...
Yeah, but I still think that Xavier Woods has improved tremendously.
Oh, yeah. Xavier Woods, in my opinion, has always been good. And I've loved Xavier Woods since his days in TNA. I feel as though he's been amazing. But, you know, it was a great match. I mean... I feel as though I understand putting the belts on a New Day, but we've seen them with the belts already. I like Heavy Machinery. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not upset that they didn't win the belts here. But you know, the New Day, them getting the belts, it makes sense because Kofi's still the WWE champion. It was a decent match, but you know. it's I'm happy that the belts are back on the New Day. It gives Big E and Xavier something to do, you know.
Yeah.
While
Kofi's still holding on to the WWE.
While Kofi is still holding on to the WWE championship, and it's really cool to see three black men, you know, holding.
Yeah, I posted it on our Twitter. I'm here holding, for all of it. I'm here for
holding gold at the same time, you know. This is like cool stuff because for such a long, I mean, they've been tag champs before, but them being tag champs.
I mean, if you go back to like the Nation of Domination and the stuff that they did, but I mean, like modern times, we haven't seen that. But moving on to the United States Championship match, my favorite, Ricochet versus the heel, the leader of the Bullet Club, the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, who is the new United States champion. I like heel AJ. I don't mind it.
Yeah, me neither.
And it gives Gallows and Anderson something to do. Because, Lord, for the longest time, it was like, damn, what happened? Ricochet, he gonna do whatever he does. Ricochet is my favorite in-ring performer at the moment. It's everything he does is like, wow. I'm really, really, really liking Ricochet. But I don't mind AJ Styles winning this one. I thought it was a great match. I like how at the beginning of the match, he got beat down after he did his little flip off the ropes into his little kneel. Yep, he got beat. Out to Gallows and Anderson for doing something and making AJ Styles look great. Not that AJ Styles needs help, but AJ Styles looks great. And maybe when Finn comes back, he can join the Bullet Club. And maybe Finn could be a heel. And maybe, just maybe, we can get an AJ Finn feud. I don't know.
That would be in a perfect world. That
maybe, just maybe,
that would make the most sense, you know, in a perfect world. But
I would love it. I would really like that, to have him come back, and then it's like, who's the real leader of the Bullet Club? Who's the real? Well, they don't call it the Bullet Club. Club, Balor Club, whatever. Any other thoughts on that match? What'd you think of Ricochet?
I think it was a good match. I think those two, I think there's still a better match to be had between them. Like, I feel like that was just, like, I don't feel like we've gotten the best Ricochet versus AJ Styles match yet, if you get what I'm saying. Like,
and if we had these automatic rematches, we might get that, but we don't have that, so who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, like, the Club versus Ricochet and the Usos at fucking SummerSlam.
Why?
I don't know. You know they're gonna bring in.
I'm just saying, like, why? And the Usos calling Ricochet Pretty Ricky. That's funny. Okay, whatever. Next up, we have Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler. Can we just give a round of applause to Kevin Owens and all that he does on the mic? Because no one does it like KL. No one. KO ended up beating Dolph Ziggler, which he almost beat him again tonight. Dolph Ziggler is not doing very well at this very moment. It's to be expected. But what do you think about Kevin Owens and all that he's doing with Shane at the moment? And how he is now Shane and Drew's latest victim.
I like Kevin Owens. I don't like him using a stunner. Because I feel like his pop-up powerbomb is one of my favorite finishers. So,
especially off
yes,
the apron?
That is like an amazing, that's such a badass finisher.
Ah, that hurts. Just thinking about it. Oh my God.
You don't need the stunner. You get what I'm saying? Like,
Well, it's kind of like when they took the curb stomp away from Seth.
Did they take the pop-up powerbomb away from KO? Because he still does it, but it's like...
No, I'm saying, but that's what that reminds me of.
Oh, yeah, when he went and he began to use the...
Yeah.
Um,
Yeah. But I think that KO's, I hate KO Stunner. I actually hate it.
Yeah, me too.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't.
People
actually like it. I'm not a fan.
I think it's horrible. If you look at Stone Cold Stunner and you look at this, it's so bad. It's so bad. And did you see how he missed Shane? And he had to do it twice the first time he did it?
Yeah, tonight on SmackDown. That was just... I'm all here for...
That was so bad.
I'm all here that for...
so bad.
I'm all here for, you know... I'm all here... Kevin Owens is the man that's going to, you know, put us out about Shane McMahon misery. I'm here for it. But if it's just somebody else that they're going to have Shane beat, I'm not here for it. Because I think KO could be a great baby face. He's super talented. And a guy like Kevin Owens is relatable. He doesn't look like the prototypical WWE superstar. Like, the fat guy in the crowd can relate to him. And KO's lost a lot of weight. I'm not calling him fat by any means. Whoa. But I'm saying Kevin Owens isn't the prototypical superstar. He wrestles with a shirt on. He's not, you get what I'm saying? I feel like he's really someone that the crowd can get behind.
He wrestles with a shirt on. He has on like basketball shorts.
Yeah. And Kevin Owens, I just feel like we need to applaud him because that man used to be, he's in great, he looks like he's in, he came
that
back.
Injury that he had in his comeback, it did him well.
He came back in some of the best shape of his life, in my opinion. So, you know,
I agree.
Hats off to him. But great. I feel like regular people, they relate to KO, you know. They know his story, know how, you know, years ago, a guy like him who wrestles in a T-shirt and basketball shorts and, you know, doesn't go around flexing his... You get what I'm saying? Like, he's really relatable. So...
Right. And his mouthpiece. People relate to what the hell he's saying.
Yes. Kevin Owens is one of the best talkers in WWE. You know, that promo...
He's the modern day CM Punk.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when CM Punk was a heel, you hated him as a heel. When he became a face, it was like, damn, I remember when CM Punk was a heel. He works well either way, but he's a better heel. Just like to me, CM Punk was a better heel. KO can do both, though. It's like with Chris Jericho, though. Chris Jericho could be face or heel. And he's one of the best people on the mic when it comes to wrestling in general. Absolute legend. Moving on from the horrible KO and Dolph Ziggler match. What was that match? Like 5 seconds? He did like a stunner. And then the match was over.
Horrible. Maybe they were running short on time. Who knows?
It was so bad.
But, yeah, I mean...
The way they buried Ziggler like that was so bad.
Ziggler's to the point, I mean, I think it's to the point whenever we see that man, we know, you know, Ziggler's going to be, you know, buried. Like, it's just, there's a few things.
But you know what? You know what Ziggler is? He's dependable.
Yeah, Ziggler's going to come in and Ziggler's going to play his role. And, you know, Ziggler.
He's going to do what's asked of him. Period. He's going to do what's asked of him. So then we have the two championship matches. Which one do you want first? The WWE or the Universal? Let's have the Universal for last. We have the WWE championship match, which, to be honest, I didn't watch. Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe. Kofi, the Chizamp, retain. Your thoughts?
It's just another one. I love Kofi. I'm happy as a black man to see him with the WWE title. And he's one of the most consistently good, like, book champions. You get what I'm saying? But it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, Kofi needs that big signature win over a big top guy. He started it in Mania with a win over a top guy in Daniel Bryan. Then he beat KO. KO's a former Universal Champion, but we don't look at KO the way we look at somebody like a Randy Orton or a John Cena or a Triple. You get what I'm saying?
And Randy Orton beat him. Randy Orton pinned him tonight. That's the feud
that I think can help define.
We have been dying for.
That is the feud that can help define his title reign. You get what I'm saying? It can really help like solidify his title reign as a as you know, this over baby face, which he is.
He's over. He's too damn over.
But you know, it was.
But I'm here for Kofi being champ.
It was a.
I'm here for him.
It was
being
a good
champ.
Match. I just hate to see. I'm a Samoa Joe fan. I love Samoa Joe. You know, but it's just it's like he's gonna be that guy who came to the WWE and just never became what he was supposed to be, I think. And it's sad to say, because I didn't want to see him take the belt off of Kofi. But in a situation like that, it's like Joe is, like, you get what I'm saying? Joe has been, I think I read a stat, he's since, in the last 2 years, he's lost eight televised matches for the WWE or Universal Championship. So it gets to a point where it's like, he's really great.
He's too good to be a jobber, but he's not going to be a world champion.
He's like old Bray Wyatt, if you really think about it. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, that's good to compare, because
Bray Wyatt, like, Joe comes out, he beats you up, he talks about how he's going to rip your head off, this and that, you know. He's Bray Wyatt minus all the, Bray Wyatt, you know, thinking his old character when he thought he was some type of god, and you know, but you know, I just don't like Samoa Joe is great, but it gets to the point where it's like annoying to just see him keep losing. You love to see Kofi win, but it's like Joe deserved at least a reign with the WWE title, and I'm gonna be real with you, I don't think he ever gets it. Joe's not young, he's not super old, but I don't have a vision of Joe ever winning a WWE or Universal Championship. And that's not to say it can't happen, because there was a time where I thought Kofi couldn't win. But I believe Kofi's younger than Joe. He's been in WWE longer.
It's long overdue.
Kofi's also one of Vince's, you know, guys. As much, I think Vince has always been a fan of Kofi. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, the crowd forced Vince's hand, but I think Vince is always like, I don't think Vince really understands Samoa Joe. You get what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. But also Triple H brought Samoa Joe into the fold. So anybody that Triple H brings into the fold is always going to be some pushback from Vince. Really.
Always.
It is.
Always.
It's always going to be some pushback. But my thing with Kofi Kingston is that with this title run that he's having, you mentioned Daniel Bryan. But you see, leading up to that, yes, the crowd had a lot of involvement, but you know, that was like an actual feud that was built over time.
Yes.
It was an impromptu
feud. I'm
going
to be real with you. That is one.
But
that is one of the
it was
best,
a feud.
That is one of the best, like, WWE storylines I've seen, like, in years. Like, that I was, like, emotionally. A part of it's because he's black. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But
a lot of that has to do with it being with him being black, and of course,
but it was a real
moment.
But him
amazing.
Winning that,
but Daniel Bryan helps. Daniel Bryan helped sell that whole thing.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, his role in that should never.
But since then, has Kofi had a feud? No.
A real feud to
he's
help
been
define
hopping
his...
and hopping and hopping, and that's not his fault. But I feel like if you're gonna to legitimize this run. If you look back, I mention it all the time. You look back at like a John Cena, a Randy Orton, an Edge. They had feuds. Yes, the titles changed hands, but the titles changed hands between another person. John Cena had Randy and he had Edge, and vice versa. One of my favorite feuds of all time, Randy versus Triple H. That is the kind of stuff that I want to see. I want to see storytelling like that, where it's like, thank you for letting this build. Thank you for letting it go on. Because I think that the storytelling between, even though after a while it was like, all right, we could have just left it in after WrestleMania, we could have been done with The Miz and Shane. But that was some of the best storytelling right there. Because it was an actual buildup. to go from the best in the world, and I saved you, and oh, we're friends, let's be tag team partners and champs, and now I'm gonna talk crazy about your dad, and I'm gonna punch you in the face, and let's go all out at WrestleMania, because to me, that's one of the most underrated matches at WrestleMania. Yeah. It was amazing. But Shane versus Miz. But that's the kind of thing I want to see for Kofi. I want Kofi to have a feud. They're still trying to figure out what to do with them. I don't think they know what to do with the WWE Championship, and I honestly don't think they know what they're going to do with the Universal Championship. But, I mean, the Fox thing is coming around, so is it a surprise that Brock Lesnar has the Universal Championship? Is it a surprise? No.
It's a not. Big surprise to me, and I think a lot of other people, because
I don't think it's a surprise, because this is bringing him back into the fold.
Because, all right, I know the wild card rule exists, but don't you think it would have been, like, don't you think most people expected and thought, like, all right, he's going to cash in on Kofi, because that makes way more sense. It would have made way more sense for him to cash in.
I could see WWE taking the lazy route when it comes to this whole Fox deal and having Brock show up with the title on SmackDown whenever he feels like it, because I'm Brock Lesnar. I'm going to do what the hell I want. Okay? He's going to show up whenever he feels like it, show his face, and bounce. That's the easy and lazy way out. I can see that happening. But since we want to talk about Brock Lesnar, let's talk about the Extreme Rules Mixed Tag Team match for both the Raw Women's title and the Universal title. We have the couple, Seth Rollins and the Man, Becky Lynch. We have the Man and the Man's Man versus Baron Corbin, who is like the top heel right now, and annoying ass Lacey Evans. Becky and Seth ended up winning. Baron ended up giving Becky an end of days. Becky ended up beating up Lacey with a kendo stick when Lacey was trying to flirt with Seth. Lacey also had Seth stitched on the back of her pants. Well, her shorts, whatever she calls them. And then when Baron did the end of days to Becky, Seth lost his shit and he started whooping his ass. He got the kendo stick, the steel chair, curb stomp 3 times, 1, 2, 3. And it's like, oh my God, they did it. They won, which I wasn't surprised about. But then all of a sudden you hear Brock Lesnar's music. And Paul Heyman said, he came out and said, the title's going to be taken tonight. It's happening. And it actually did. He stuck to his word. Brock Lesnar comes out. Man, it's over. Brock Lesnar is now the Universal Champion. He dropped the title in April. Here we are 3 months later, and he got the title back going into SummerSlam. Yay. No. I don't like Brock Lesnar with the Universal title. I don't like Brock Lesnar in the WWE because he doesn't really care. But your thoughts on the match?
I feel like when I first heard Extreme Rules Mixed Tag and these four competitors, I mean, the rivalry really hasn't been doing anything for me. Becky and Seth have cooled like a lot. Like they're not like they were super
the
hot.
The flame's yeah. not hot like it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it's
April,
not
yeah.
burning it down. You know, like it's just not it. Fun. Like and you know the rivalries haven't been doing anything. But I think kudos to all four. Lacey, I know I talk a lot of shit about her, but she's done decent with what she's been given in this you know feud this position. Vince likes her, mm-hmm. so, you know, obviously, you know, she's been put in a spot, and I feel like she's messed up at times, but Lacey's one of those girls, one of those performers, I feel like, who has a lot of potential. Like, so...
I can see a lot happening with Lacey. I don't dislike... Well, I won't say that I don't dislike her. She's kind of irritating. But she just needs some work in the ring. And I think that putting her with somebody like Charlotte would really do her good. That's all. It'll do her more good than what it did Dana Brooke. How about that? Because we saw a little some of what could happen if they were to go at each other. Charlotte would destroy Lacey Evans, but oh, Extreme Rules was over. We move on to Monday Night Raw. The highlight of Monday Night Raw was Bray Wyatt's return. And Bray Wyatt is half of the size that he was when he left. He is a new father. Who knows when JoJo will be back? She's on maternity leave. But Bray Wyatt is back.
JoJo the homewrecker?
To each its own.
I'm just saying.
I think that to be a homewrecker, there have to be a home to wreck.
You probably wrecked a couple homes.
I've had it done, but no.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
I didn't wreck anything.
Okay.
But you know, I understand where you would come from with that statement. But Bray Wyatt is back, and he took out Finn Balor. But you know, they said that the match could happen of like Bray Wyatt versus the Demon King.
I think listen. Bray Wyatt needs to be the first person to beat the Demon on the main roster. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Bray Wyatt with his new character. Finn goes away for a while, he comes back, and then he joins the club. You get what I'm saying? That if I'm booking shit, that's how I do it. You get what I'm saying? Like,
that'd be a great way to write out Finn, to have him, if you're going to bring the Demon King and have Bray Wyatt, bring Bray Wyatt back into the fold 100%. Have him beat the Demon King. Let the Demon King go off into the sunset and do whatever he wants to do until probably Survivor Series. Let him have that break.
Yeah, because the break is going to be about 2 months, which would bring him back around Survivor Series time. So,
yep. I think that Seth needs to take a break too, and so does Becky, but
that's not whatever. Gonna happen.
I know. But other things on Raw, we had Seth Rollins is officially facing Brock Lesnar. He gets a rematch, and there was a 10, what did they call it? A 10-man cross-brand all-star. Oh, top 10. Paul Heyman gave it some cool name, and it was how many people? Roman was there. Matter of fact, let me not even lie. Let me look at the picture. But it was Roman and Seth and Bobby was there. Cesaro, Bobby, Sammy. Did you see what they did to Sammy?
Oh yeah.
How they didn't even play his music. He didn't even get He didn't even get halfway down the ramp. No, but they let everybody else get down to the end of the ramp. Sammy got halfway through and they stopped his music.
I think it's just to the point they don't really give a fuck about Sammy anymore. It's sad, but
I know. So yes, yeah, Cesaro, Lashley, Sammy, Corbin, Strowman, Orton, Mysterio, Big E, it was nice to see him in the match. Roman and Seth. Seth ends up knocking out Randy once and for all. And we talked about where Randy should be, who he should be fighting. But Seth is going against Brock at SummerSlam. Are you interested in the lineup of SummerSlam so far?
No. I'll be real with you. The match I'm most excited for is freaking Ember versus Bayley.
That's the one that I'm excited for because we haven't seen it.
Yeah. I mean, we really haven't seen Seth versus Brock.
I mean, we just saw that meeting.
The thing is, look at Brock's matches with Daniel Bryan.
It's also not like it's been shoved
and
down.
AJ like Styles
Brock versus Roman.
You get what I'm saying? They've never had a real match. You get what I'm saying? Where we can go back and look at and say, oh, I feel like. But I'm be real, where do you go? Like, if Brock wins, what the fuck? What was like, yo, we're back at square fucking one, bro. We're at the same place we were, like, a little over a year ago with Brock as the champion. I feel like having Brock as the champion really devalues that belt. You get what I'm saying? Because why in the world is Brock Lesnar why is he the Universal Champion, bro? Like, they just can't they think Brock Lesnar brings in ratings and keeps people interested, and maybe numbers say that he does, but I'm not fucking interested when Brock Lesnar has the belt. I'm not. Because Brock Lesnar is the same old shit, bro. It's the same old shit that when I thought he was gonna go to the UFC and get his ass whooped by Daniel Cormier, I was so excited because, you know, he was gonna be off of TV for a little bit and his character would be freshened up by the time he came back after, you know, he took his L. And it would make him human because he lost in the UFC. So, you know, I don't know if they would play that in the storylines, but that would have been smart. They probably wouldn't have because WWE, they're not the brightest ones in the bunch. But anyway, I just feel as though Brock is Universal Champion. It does nothing for me. Like, it's no progression. Like, it's no... Seth is Universal Champion was doing nothing for me as well. I feel like they butchered his title reign the moment they thought it would be a good idea to have I'm all messed up tonight. It's late, y'all. Him and Becky, Lacey. Becky be a thing.
Oh, Becky versus Becky.
Yeah, like I don't know. I just haven't been a fan of this title run.
I just am not happy that Brock Lesnar has the title again. I'm not happy with it at all. I wish I would have just been happy with the way that they left it. But, I mean, the timing in which he did it was perfect. After a grueling match like that, for Seth to lose the title the way that he did, I don't think it was a bad spot for it to happen. But after seeing it happen, it was just like, damn, here we go again. The same shit that we went through before. It's happening again. And we're going to be in, like you said, it's the same spot. So with how they have SummerSlam set up, we're going to do a prediction show because it's one of the bigger pay-per-views, how we did for Mania. We will do a prediction show for SummerSlam. But I think we agree when we say that the only match that seems interesting right now and what else can they really do is Bayley and Ember. Because who else are they going to add in? Do you think that Charlotte Flair is not going to have a match at SummerSlam?
Charlotte has to have a match at SummerSlam.
What? Charlotte Flair is not wrestling at SummerSlam? Whatever will they do? Oh, my God.
Charlotte Slam is still, in my opinion, Charlotte Flair is still the biggest women's wrestler they've got right now, and she needs...
Oh, but imagine this, throwing Charlotte into, because they do shit like this, throw Charlotte into the women's championship match with Ember, right? This is what would happen in my head. It's not gonna happen because it would make too much sense. Throw her into the match, right? Then you have Sasha come out, and you think that Sasha's gonna help Bayley, but she ends up screwing her over and Charlotte would end up with the title, which is kind of putting people back in the same spot that they were before. She'd be a how many time champion? 10 time?
Charlotte is at the point in her career, I feel like, where she'd be
a 10 time champ though.
Charlotte is bulletproof. You get what I'm saying? Charlotte don't need a belt, like, at all.
But she's going to keep getting them. Because if you think about it, she'd be the first... Is she the first women's Grand Slam champ? No. That's Bayley, right?
Yeah, the first women's Grand Slam champion is Bayley.
That would be Bayley. Because Bayley's had the SmackDown, Raw, NXT, and tag team titles. So she would be the first. But I mean, I don't know whether I just can't believe that Charlotte doesn't have a match at SummerSlam. When have we not seen Charlotte at a main pay-per-view since she's been called up to the main roster? What are they going to do? I'm shocked. She don't have a match right now. Half of the Four Horsewomen is obsolete, as Matt Hardy would say.
Yeah, what do
not
you,
saying
what
that
do you
Charlotte
think of,
or Sasha's.
What do you think of? I, what do you think of the Becky Natalya? That match doesn't do anything for me.
No, because Natalya's horrible on the mic. I hate her on the mic. I don't like when she speaks. No. When I saw the four people, I'm like, why? Why? Natalya versus Naomi versus Alexa with Nikki Cross in the background versus Carmella. That match did nothing for me. They got booed last night, which was, the crowd was really sucky on Monday night. But no, I'm not interested in seeing. I'm so happy I get to fight my friend, Becky Lynch. I'm so happy. And now Becky, I don't care. I'll whoop your arse and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, Becky, I'm just, is Becky a face or is she just, F you all, I do what I want.
I think Becky,
she's not really
I think
a heel.
Becky is at her best when she's F you all, I do what I want. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but she got to rebuild that fire. She got to give us something. She got to start fucking with Natalya. Because we know Natalya not going to do nothing. Natalya's comebacks were soft. It was boring. I wasn't interested. But we talked about SmackDown because Kevin Owens got the thing going with Shane. They had their little opening thing in the beginning with their little town hall meeting, which was stupid.
Horrible TV. Horrible.
There's nothing about SmackDown tonight worth
mentioning. I feel like SmackDown, the wild card rule has hurt SmackDown more than anything. Like, SmackDown used to be such, I feel like, a breath of fresh air, a show that I looked forward to every week. Like, even when Raw wasn't at its best, I knew SmackDown, I could count on it because it was 2 hours, it was easy to watch, good storylines, you know, the storylines made sense, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't know. I haven't been a fan of SmackDown because it's just not it.
You don't even have to finish it. It's just not. That's what it is. It's just not. But yeah, that wraps it up. Is there really anything else to say about WWE at this point? No. We'll be doing SummerSlam predictions. When is SummerSlam? That's the question. When is SummerSlam? It's coming. I think it's August 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. I'm lying. August 2nd is when Hobbs and Shaw comes out. Sorry. Everybody go support Roman Reigns. So, yeah. August 11th. Which is the second Sunday. So, yeah. If anything happens before then, we'll drop an episode. But I don't think anything interesting is going to happen. I mean, unless someone comes back. If Sasha Banks comes back, we'll do a whole episode about Sasha.
Yes. Yes. I already have the title.
If she comes back before SummerSlam.
I already have the title for that episode. The Boss is Back. That's going to be the title. The Boss is Back. Y'all know I'm a nut for The Boss. Like, she...
So is Michael Cole. It's Boss time! He loses his damn mind.
I'm not trying to be inappropriate or nothing, but I'd totally drink Sasha's bathwater if she told me to.
Oh, my...
And on that note, it's time to go. That's going to be a wrap for the Half Right Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Follow us on Twitter at @half_pod.
And
we're always over there.
I love Sasha Banks. Good night, guys.
Good night.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at @thehalfrightpodcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.